Well, let's see if we can learn something from the Word this morning. We're going to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to continue in our study on the armor of God. And so we'll start there. I had a hard time with this message this week. I think that there are a part of that is because there's so many other things that wanted to crowd out my time in study and looking at these things. And so, I mean, at times it seemed like there was almost a little bit of a cloud of having to work through to get, I had to work hard to get over to where we are today. And I'm just praying that as I try to share this today, that those clouds lift and that everything is succinct and clear and that I don't muddy things up with what we want to bring today. And so ask an interest in your prayer as we go through this. I ask you just to simply be responsive as the Lord walks us through this study here this morning. So we'll begin in verse 10 of chapter 6 and going down to where we find ourselves with the piece of armament that we're to look at today. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." You got to remember that this is talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, and that this is armament for those that are saved, okay? This is armament, this is armor for the saved group that is here this morning. If you are born again today, listen up and take heed. This is a message for you. I say to you this as well. If you're not a child of God this morning, this message is for you. Because what He will do is awaken inside of you a longing and a desire for the things of Himself. And so heed that desire if you don't know Him this morning. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Remember that everything that we're dealing with out here in the visible comes from a struggle that is taking place in the invisible. Okay? And so there's a manifestation of things out here that begin on the invisible, that begin on the invisible port. And so what we have to understand is that on a spiritual level, on an invisible level, that there is a warfare that is raging here today. And in order for the visible part of this to go right, the invisible part has to go right. Okay? "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Here's how we're to stand. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." First piece of the armor is the belt of truth. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There is no truth apart from Jesus Christ. And what He has revealed and what He has laid out for us is that body of truth that we are to operate in. We have to take Him at His word. There has to be a standard for life and for living. And He's the standard. He is that standard, whether you recognize it or not. "Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." The breastplate covers the heart. Proverbs tell us that we're to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're to keep the heart. Have on the breastplate of rightness. Rightness. Doing right. Moving right. Going right. How do we know how to move and go right? Because we have on the belt of truth. It's the standard and the beginning point. And from that standpoint of truth, we move forward in rightness, keeping our heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." These three are to be kept on all the time. The belt of truth, the breastplate of rightness, the shoes shod with the gospel of peace. We're to wear these perpetually. Keep them on at all times. The gospel of peace, shoes of the gospel of peace, are the standing that we have. And this standing is that we are to agree with God in all things. At salvation, when our spirit was quickened, which is salvation, quickened in our inner man, made alive in our inner man, in our spirit, born again in this particular place, and from that place to be controlled by the Spirit of God, we are to stand in that area, to stand in that place in agreement. God, at that moment, equipped us fully, equipped us completely for everything that lies ahead. In that acorn that He placed in the spirit of man that will grow into an oak, in that acorn that He placed there is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. You got all that you're ever going to get. It's already there. It's already there, banked for you. God placed that in you. And as we stand in this place and agree with God, we can make withdrawal from that and bring that forward, you see. So these three pieces of armor here, of the armor here, are to be perpetually, we're to be perpetually clothed in. Then we move forward to verse 16, and it says, above all, take up, you are to take up at times the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. I love what God says of Himself as He speaks to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, God says of Himself to Abraham, He says, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy shield. Take up the shield of faith. As Tracy was mentioning just a few moments ago. I preached that message on the shield of faith 2 weeks ago. Sunday, 2 weeks ago. Preached that message that day. And talking about when all hell breaks loose in your life. When all hell breaks loose in your life of taking up the shield of faith. Taking up that shield of faith that is Jesus Christ, being in total agreement and drawing from the reserves that He's placed in our lives. And little did I know that 6 hours later, I'd be drawing on that same sermon, drawing from those same things that I laid out for us on that Sunday morning, that I'd have to draw from that well and lift up that shield of faith. And move forward, knowing that He was there, knowing that He had all things, knowing that He was everything, and I was nothing, and that He would quench the fiery darts of the wicked, that I could do nothing in that regard. And so having the opportunity and the privilege of living that opportunity of relying completely on Him, and that shield of faith that we are to take up and to put into action when we find ourselves in the midst of the battle. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then we come to today's look. And take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Again, another one of those pieces that it says that we are to take up as needed. That we are to take up and to put on. That there is something to do with this one when the situation warrants. We're told to take the helmet. We're told to take what God has already done and use it in our life. We're talking about salvation. Take what He's already done and use that in our life. Victory in this visible world that we're living in, victory in this visible world is tied to what goes on in the invisible world. In order to have success in the visible world, in order to stand, as the Scripture says, in order to withstand, to have the victory, to have success, we are to put something on our head. We have to have a head covering in order to stand. We have to have a covering across on this head in order to have victory in this visible world around us. A helmet is put on our head. Why would we put a helmet on a head? Well, a helmet is put on a head to protect the brain. Huh? You put a helmet on your head in order to protect your brain. If the brain is damaged, then body function is impaired. Agreed? You're going to have your brain. If it's damaged, then a lot of different things are affected. A lot of different things can go bad. The brain is important to the body. I'm not telling you anything new. But the brain is very important to the body. Now, in the context of spiritual warfare, there are correlations, okay? And we've talked about correlations with different pieces of the armament. Go back and listen to those. I encourage you to do that. Not a once and done. You're going to need some of this stuff over and over again. Go back and look at the illustrations and things that we have put out there for you. But there are correlations between visible and invisible, and it's all through the passage that we have here before us. What's out here, what's visible, stems from what's on the inside, what is invisible, what is in here, stems from invisible causes, okay? Because there's a war going on, and what happens inside manifests itself on the outside here. So we put on the helmet, to protect the brain. What the brain is to the body, the mind is to the soul. We've talked about us being three-part humans: spirit, soul, and body. The body, simply the vehicle to move the inner man to the places that it needs to be. It is a vehicle. It is a shell. It takes orders from the soul. The soul gets its marching orders from the mind, okay? And so what we have to have is we have to have all of this all in sync. The brain is the control center for the body. The mind is the control center for the soul. In order for the body to go right, the brain has to think that way. In order for the soul to go right, the mind has to think the right way. The body is to be the vehicle that transports the soul. To get the soul to steer the body to the right place, the mind has to think right. All of us know or have known folks who are dealing with Alzheimer's. That's in the physical, okay? The brain slowly loses its ability to control the body. That's what happens. There's a disconnect between the two, between the brain and the body, and physical degradation then occurs. We all know what that's about. We've all experienced that and seen the folks that have gone through those issues. Correlation. That's a visible, physical something going on. In the invisible realm, in spiritual warfare, the brain has to be protected in order that body is not impaired, so that the right signals get to the right place to get the body doing the right thing, get the actions doing the right thing. When attacks come, and they will, the control center is vital to the success of the endeavor, okay? The brain, the mind has to be protected. The mind has to be covered. The mind has to be governed. And that's an important phrase. That's a biblical phrase that we find, that the mind is to be governed. Now, let me give you an example of something like that in our world today, and then I want to move that over into the invisible realm as well. We've got, or used to have, some football fans around here, but then we had a season and things happened. But if you'll think above that for a minute, I know many of you have quit going on to basketball season, as I have. But in the football area, they wear helmets. And these helmets are designed to protect the brain so that there's not injuries that take place there that are cause life to be changed drastically. All right? And so in our modern world today, there is the leader on the field being the quarterback of the team, and that individual is charged with watching everything that takes place and putting things into motion to get a goal accomplished. The goal accomplished to get across the goal line. And to further than that, to win the contest and to have victory ensue. Well, in order to do that, there are many things that must take place. And one of the wonderful technological advances in modern football is that the coaches can speak directly into the helmet of a quarterback. They can speak directly into his head and can give him instruction and can give him plays and strategy and offer suggestions for him to follow. Now, what generally happens is that there is one called an offensive coordinator, and that offensive coordinator sits way up high in the stadium, way up high there, so he can see all the action down on the field, so he can see what's happening over here with the defense and who's moving here and there and who's coming onto the field and who's going off. And he can see all of that, see how they're sitting and moving and what their strategy might be. He's up high so that he can work with things that are down low down there. And so he moves these around and he speaks into that quarterback's helmet and he tells him what he ought to be doing and how he ought to be doing it, because he sees the big picture and all he can see is just a little bit of it down there where he is. And so he tells him, if you'll do this, this will happen and these things will occur. And so then that quarterback has to make a decision about how he's going to go about it, whether he's going to do what he's been asked to do, as he's been asked to do it, or he's going to improvise as things come up. And so therein is the process that takes place. This one that is up high, 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 looks down on things that are low, sees how they are, and moves this individual to the places that he needs to be to do the things that need to be done so that victory happens in the long run out of all of this. He sets high and he looks low about all of these things. Now, your victory or defeat is tied to proper or improper programming in your life. If you are thinking wrong, you're going to be wrong. So many of us have a wrong self-perception about things. We have convinced ourselves that things are the way they are and this way and all that because that's what we think they are, we believe they are, but there is, and much of that is improper programming. That we have our own set of piece of reality. We've made our own reality. There's a lot of folks here today living their own reality rather than living the reality that God has laid out for us. That's where the belt of truth and these other pieces come in, you see. When we neglect and avoid that, then our thinking is going to be wrong. And if our thinking is wrong, it's going to be wrong all the way down the line. And the only way to get that back in track is to make sure that we're operating in truth, absolute truth. Absolute truth. Not the truth that I've come to, not the truth that I think of, not the reality that I've made, but the reality that God has out there for us. And so therein lies the first disconnect that we have in our thinking and in our mind and in this process. We've come off of the standard and come to our own standard, unto our own degraded values, and therein we want to operate. Well, that will lead us to improper thinking, and improper thinking leads us to defeat in the spiritual realm. If your mindset is flawed, then your actions are going to be flawed. I mean, that's just the way it is. To change bad actions, your mind must first be changed. In order to change what is happening out here in the visible, your mind has to be changed about that. And once your mind is changed, then things can begin to happen physically. What governs your mind shows up in your actions unless you are prohibited or prevented by law or something of that nature from acting out the course of events that you have played out in your mind. But now we come to this point. But God wants you to put on your helmet so He can speak to you. All right? He wants you to put on your helmet so He can speak to you. He sits high and you're low. And He sees the field of events around you. He sees all that's taking place and the enemy that's marshaled against you. He sees what they're running. He sees the plays that are being run against you. He understands and sees those things, and He wants to speak into your helmet. He wants to speak into your head. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you through this minefield. And He wants you to turn right when He says right, and turn left when He says left, duck when He says duck, and jump and shout when He says jump and shout. He wants to lead you through all of that. He sits high, and He takes care of everything low down here. All right? Now, let's think about what we are to put on to protect our mind. The helmet of salvation. Now, Paul is writing to people that are already saved, right? So we're not talking about getting saved again. He's talking to people that are seated in heavenly places. He's talking to saints. He's talking to the redeemed in this book of Ephesians here. He calls them brethren. He tells born again folks to take the helmet of salvation and put it on. Now there's a problem. There is a helmet called salvation. There's a helmet called salvation, and Christians need to put it on. We need to be putting it on. And therein lies the rub, the disconnect that we have. If it can be put on, it can obviously be left off. And if it's left off, that creates a set of problems. If it is put on, then there are a set of problems that are solved as a result of putting on this piece of armor here. What that tells me is that there are those that have not put on the helmet, because I see the actions of folks around. You can see that folks have not put on the helmet of salvation. Saved folk have to pick up the helmet and put it on in order to fight the good fight. Saved people need to think like saved people. That's what he's getting at with this. Saved people need to think like saved people. Because the mind is what controls the soul, and the soul controls the body. And what you put in is what you get out the other end. And so if I'm going to strive for godliness, then godliness has to be put in and allowed to go through the conduit. Saved people need to think like saved people. You can be saved and not think saved. Huh? There's part of the problem. You can be saved and not think saved. I think at the core of our problem is a misunderstanding of salvation. That's what I really think. I think the core of the problem of Christianity today is the core of misunderstanding salvation in its base form. Most of us think that salvation is just another way to say delivered from hell. And salvation is so much more than that. That's just a piece. That's just a part of it. Salvation is so much more than just being delivered from hell. Now, that's important. I grant you, that is very important. But friend, that's not all of it. That's not everything that we're looking at when we talk about salvation. Salvation in the future. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to take a detour through several places here this morning. In Romans chapter 1, hopefully I can tie it all together here. Romans chapter 1, in verse 16 and 17, a familiar passage to you. It says there, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." But when you go back to that first part of it, it says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." This is Paul writing, right? A saved one. He says, "It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that," and he's talking about unto deliverance. It's the power of God, the dunamis of power here. The gospel is the dunamis, the dynamite of God, unto salvation. And when he's talking about salvation, he's talking about deliverance. And when he's talking about deliverance, he's talking about wrath to come, yes, but he's also talking about wrath on earth. He's talking about from justification all the way to glorification. Have I lost you? He's talking about justification through sanctification and glorification to the far end. He's talking about all three of these processes at once when he's talking about salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto deliverance from hell in the future and hell on earth. Both at the same time. Both right here simultaneously. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. What you have is enough to deliver you in the future and enough to deliver you now. When God saved you, He gave you enough to deliver you in the future and to deliver you now in your present circumstance. To deliver you now in your present situation. Enough for both of this. If you're going through hell, or rather if hell is going through you, then you haven't picked up your helmet. If you're living like hell today, you haven't picked up your helmet. Your thinking is improper. Your mind is on things that other than what it should be on. And hell is manifesting itself through you because you have not on the helmet of salvation that he talks about here. You've been furnished with a way to escape. A way to escape temptation, a way to escape many things. You have been furnished with that. At salvation, you were furnished with this. Furnished for a way of salvation, a way of escape from temptation. All of these things were furnished to you, but you're not using it because you don't have your helmet of salvation on. The power of God is available, but we're not picking it up. We're not making use of what He's made available to us. Let's go back to salvation for just a moment. Also in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should work that out, that we have been, it has been ordained that we should work out those works through Him." Okay? So we have this process of salvation. God has given you all of the equipment that He needs to give you at the moment of salvation. For by grace are you saved. He's given you all the grace you need. He's given you all the grace that He has here on the front end. It's front loaded. He's given you that grace through faith in order that you might work. Okay? Grace through faith and works. He supplied you, and He supplied you day one by grace through faith unto good works. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's resident. It's there. He's deposited at the time of your salvation. You say, well, then why am I struggling if I already have all of this grace? Why am I struggling when I have been supplied from the beginning with all of this? Well, the reason is you're not accessing it. You're not accessing the provision that he's made. You're not accessing the grace that he's deposited there already. That's the reason that you're struggling. That's the reason that things aren't going in the right direction. And it's only accessed one way. That grace is accessed through faith. Through faith, not by works. Okay? Accessed through faith and not by works. Trying to access grace by works nullifies grace. Makes it of none effect. Because grace has nothing to do with you and me. Has absolutely nothing to do with you and me. That's a God thing. That's God's realm. That's God's work only. Grace is what God has supplied for you to access, and you are to access that grace by faith. Religion wants you to access grace by what? By works. Wants you to work for it. Wants you to work it up. Wants you to come in the back door to access what God has deposited for you to withdraw from. When God gave his son, he gave all the love he had to you. Huh? He gave all the love that he had to you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what it says. He gave all the love he had for you in his son. God has already provided for you. Now I'm talking to you born again. God has already provided for you. God has already given what he needs to give for you. Faith is the only means of tapping into the grace God has already provided for you. Faith is the means to do that. Faith is my positive response to what God has already done. The work I do is to express my faith. That's all it's about. It's not to earn my grace. I have grace. It's there. By faith, I access it, not by what I do or not by the works that I perform. Why? We don't need to earn the favor that God has already given. We simply tap into that favor, and we tap into it by faith. You have supplies. You have been supplied. You get them out of the warehouse by faith, not by working like crazy to earn those favors that God has for them. They're yours, and they're yours already. Now, I'm not into that group, and I'm not trying to move into an area here where you're already, where you're thinking of here. I'm not talking about this name it, claim it thing, all right? I'm not talking about anything to do with naming and claiming blessings and all of this stuff. I'm not talking about anything to do with health and wealth. The scriptures do say, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But that's not what he's talking about there. None of this business with all of that. I remember passing by the TV one night, and a well-dressed fellow in a large football stadium in Houston was talking about him having a big church, a big car, and a big house, because that's what he deserved for being a Christian. That's when I turned it off immediately, because what he deserves is to go to hell. You don't deserve not one blessed thing. That's not what he's talking about here when he's talking about pulling on reserves of grace, pulling from what God has deposited in there. We're not talking about blank checks that we pull out of here by faith. What we're talking about is God supplying our every need as we have need. Okay? And that's what he's talking about is being deposited there. He's deposited himself in there. He's all the fruit of the Spirit. He's deposited all these things. He is holy. All of that holiness has been deposited in your spirit to be withdrawn from your spirit. And the only way that can be withdrawn from there is by faith. And that has to come by faith into that mind, through that mind to that soul, and from that soul to that body, and it works out here for the folks around us to see here. The mind, the helmet of salvation, understanding how all of this plays out, pulls into what he's talking about, pulling on the helmet of salvation. You've got to understand salvation before you can put on the helmet of salvation. Understand that it's more than deliverance from a future wrath, but it is also deliverance from a wrath that is here today. I'll get into that in just a moment as well. In Philippians chapter 2, in the kenosis there, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the and it talks about him being in the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. This is this spiritual area we're talking about right here, things above the earth and under the earth and in the earth and all of this invisible stuff that we're talking about here. And he has dominion over that, but yet he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And God has still exalted him. And so what he's talking about in all of that is the same parallel for you and me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in him. His servitude and his drawing from the resources of God and drawing from these things in order to be equipped to live a life that would be pleasing unto God as we move through this time and through this visible existence that we have here. It comes from the invisible to the visible and makes its appearance here. Let this mind be in you. This is the starting point to thinking right and to acting right and to going right. Letting his mind be your mind, be in you. Remember what Paul says over in Philippians chapter 4. He says, finally, my brethren, he says, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Why do we think on these things? These are the things that God has deposited in there with that holy dose, with that holy acorn that he placed in us at the moment of salvation that can be germinated and brought forward out of there. That love and that joy and that peace and these wonderful things and good report and lovely things and all of these, they're there to be withdrawn, to be used in our daily life. And the way we do that is let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that we think the right way, that our mind is moved the right way so that we go the right way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says something there I think is real cool as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down in verse 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See, he's talking about that grace that he received. He's talking about that, with the grace of God making him what he is. And he's understanding where it's all coming from, that God has placed something in me. I am what I am today because God did what he did. Because God did the work that he did, I am what I am. I used to be something else. I used to be somebody you would like, that you would hate, but now I am what I am because of the grace of God. I want you to notice another thing in this as well. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And what he's saying with that is that, you know, this grace that has been working through his life, he is allowing it to come unhindered through his life. That he's allowing that to work through his life, that this river of grace is pouring out of him, and he's working like a dog because he's loving working like a dog for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to work. He wants to labor. He's out working everybody out there, not because he has to work to get the grace out, but because the grace is moving through him, and he's working because this flow is unhindered, and it's just marvelous for him to work the works of God. tapped into grace. And he labored like crazy. Paul says, get out of my way. Just get out of the way. I got a river of life flowing out of me. I got to do something. I got to be about my Father's business. I got to go over here. I'll be back. I got to get down here. I'm going to go over here. I got things to do. Get out of the way. Move over. Move it or lose it. And so he just has this grace pumping out of him. His grace keeps him striving. His grace keeps him working. He's not trying to find grace. He's not trying to pry grace out of there. It's that grace that is unhindered flowing through him that keeps him striving, that keeps him working, that keeps him moving for God. There's so much more that I want to do. When you read his writings, it's out there. I just want to go over here. I just want to be over there. I want to be with these folks here. I want to do this. I want to go here. There's just not enough hours in the day for me to go everywhere I want to go. I'm going where the Lord sends me today, and I'm going to work from till I can't today. And when this, I sure would like to be over there. And that's a picture of this man's life. There's so much more that he wants to do. Grace doesn't make you lazy. Listen to me. Grace doesn't make you lazy. Grace doesn't make you stingy. That's not grace. That's not grace alive and working in a group. Grace doesn't make you lazy. It doesn't make you stingy. It makes you work harder. Grace makes you love deeper. Grace makes you give more because you're free. Because you're free. Listen to me, because you're free. You've been set free, and you get to do these things. I get to give. I get to work. I get to love on a deeper level. More free, free, more. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. I'm getting close. Romans 5, starting in at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's huge. That is huge. How much does God love you? He gave you all the love He had right there. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Huge. Christ died for us. That's necessary. That was absolutely necessary. He had to die. That wasn't it. That wasn't all of it. There's more to it. It takes more than that. It takes more than that. He had to die. There has to be a death. There is a death that has to be involved. Now look at this. Much more then. Now he's going beyond the death into something else. Much more then. Much more. Now, I like that much more part, don't you? Much more than, much more than that, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Once again, this wrath we're talking about here, and we'll go back to Romans chapter 1 and nail this down again here in just a moment. We always think about wrath as being future. Wrath is now, too. Wrath's in the here and now, too. Listen, there's hell on earth right now. Huh? There's some of you going through hell on earth right now. Huh? Because of decisions and because of things that you've done. You're going through hell now. Going through a period of wrath now. I'll explain that further in just a minute. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, oh, much more. There's something beyond that. There's something above that. Something much more than that. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Saved by His life. How about that? He died to save, and He lives to save. Huh? That's the salvation we're talking about. It's not just for the end of this thing. It is for a life to be lived as well. He died and He lives in order that we might die to self and live to Him on a daily basis. that we have a way, that we have power to live a life that would be pleasing unto Him now, in the here and now. That we might also avoid wrath in the here and now. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Look what it says. For the wrath of God is revealed. Present tense. Here now. Is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Against things now. Things are immediately judged. Things are immediately looked at on a God level as they occur, and there is wrath that is assigned. Remember Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Is that just someday out here in the future, that for the wages of sin is death, when this is all over, when this is all said and done, then there's death that comes, this separation that comes? No, what it's talking about is that there is wrath injected into sin. There is wrath that is injected into sin. And when you sin, there is wrath involved in that. The wrath of God is involved in that today. And what he's talking about with this helmet of salvation is living a life here, so that we don't have to be involved with the consequences of this sin that is injected into our lives. How do we avoid that? We don't go there. How do we don't go there? We put on our helmet of salvation. We let the mind of Christ be our mind. The mind controls the soul. The soul controls the body. Wow, it turns out good whenever we have the mind of Christ. When we have our own mind, our own way, our own reality, do our own thing, the way that we think is right, then we short-circuit, we're improper, and the right thing as we see it becomes the wrong thing as God sees it. The helmet of salvation has to be picked up. We have to understand that the grace is there for us to withdraw from, to be pulled from there to here. The reservoir is there. And it is meant to flow continuously and regularly through there. The devil wants you playing without a helmet. He wants you playing without a helmet today. He wants to whack you in the head. He wants to give you a concussion. He wants to have you laying flat on your back, doing absolutely nothing but worrying about him and what he's up to in your life. He wants you playing without a helmet. He wants you disconnected from grace. He wants to pick you off in that way. You got to understand what you got when you got saved. You got to understand the reservoir that God placed there for you to draw from in your daily life. It's not just when this thing is over. It's now. Each and every moment of the day, you have a reservoir to draw from. Let the mind of Christ be your mind. Major on the truth. Put that breastplate of righteousness on. Get your feet situated. Make sure that you're agreeing with God in all points. Agree with Him about what's right. Agree with Him about what's wrong. What's wrong in your life, allow His grace to flow through there and those things to be done away with. Change your thinking. Change your mind on these things. Get rid of the old reality and put a true reality at work in your life. And you'll win some spiritual victories. You'll have some victories that you can string together and look back and say, wow, look what God is doing in my life. Now that, friends, is a better existence than the one prior. Disconnected from God, not a good place to be. Disconnected from grace that He's already provided for you, definitely not a good place to be. I encourage you to get the connection back up. Where's the connection? It's in your mind. That mind needs to be renewed. That mind needs to be renewed. Needs to be washed. Needs to be cleansed. Scrubbed out in there. And once it's scrubbed out, then the soul can make good decisions. Make good decisions based on truth that the body can work out here where the visible world comes in. Victory can be had. Victory can be had. And it can be had on a daily basis. Put your helmet on. Quit playing the game without the helmet. got to put your helmet of salvation on. Understand what you are. Understand who you are. Understand what He's provided for you in the salvation that He has given. Free for Him. Here it is for you, offered freely today. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for, Lord, just the depth. Lord, the depth of the Word of God. Lord, the concepts that are on the surface, Lord, that if we begin to dig where we see things on the surface, Lord God, that it just seems to go forever. I thank You for the grace that You've deposited in the lives of my brothers and sisters here this morning. I ask You, dear Heavenly Father, to start or to continue the work, Lord God, of cleansing the minds. Lord, as the mind goes, so go the feet. And I pray, dear God, that You'd recapture the minds of men. Recapture the minds of boys and girls here today. Lord, let them be stayed upon holy things. The things that are resonant, the things that are in the reservoir of the spirit that is inside of each and every one of the born again ones here today, Lord, that might be manifest through the soul and the body, Lord, that others might see and desire a relationship with You. Oh Lord, thank You for showing us that we work because we have been given grace, not to earn that grace, not any of that, Lord, that through faith we can access the grace that You've deposited there. Lord, when we need it, it's there. We can call upon You anytime, day or night. Thank You so much for all that. So, Lord, help us to realize what we have in You. Help us to realize what You have in us, what You've placed in us, what's there for us to use and to take even this morning. Lord, for those that don't have a relationship with You this morning, Lord, there's people here that don't, and they know they don't. I pray, dear God, that You'd continue the work of convincing, and God, that we would simply not be a hindrance, Lord God, to Your work. Help us to get out of the way where You're working, and Lord, help us to be used, Lord God, as a mouthpiece, when the time comes to that. Help us, Lord God, not to jump the gun. Help us, Lord, to be led by Your Spirit. Lord, that's why You gave it to us. That we could be led. You're on high, looking down at all the low things around us. Lord, we can't even see over the brush. Help us to listen to You as we have our helmet on. Lord, that You can guide us through all these wonderful, wonderful adventures of life. So now, Father, we leave those things with You. I ask You, Father, for those that are unsaved this morning, God, bring them and get them saved. For Christians this morning, help us to count our blessings, to know who we are, to know what we have in the treasure that You've placed inside of us. Now, Father, I leave these things with You and pray it in Jesus' name and amen.